Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress them on the third date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/recommend today.
Pleased to share my conversation with longtime NFL referee and CBS rules analyst Gene Steratore. I was thinking about him and how busy normally his spring would be because he would work in March Madness. He was also in college basketball. And so I asked him what the spring has been like for him when it's been so quiet inside the world of sports.
It has been pretty quiet. Now, this time of year, whereas always my family called it the 100 days of peace because I really was home for this 100 day segment, you know, and this portion of the officiating life that I led for those decades really was filled with hopefully a lot of home time or as much as I could cram in, knowing that the 8 months that were coming very soon were going to take me away a lot. And I really focused a ton at this point on the new rules, on preparing in those ways as you enjoyed your family at home and that structure. So really from the officiating side of this, especially the NFL guys who really kick things underway officially around July, the first or second week of July would be the clinic. They are all, for as much as they could be, practicing pretty much a normal routine right now where they're waiting for the new rules to become officially new rules and all of the other types of things that they would be receiving, which is kind of normal now, I guess, and it would be virtual, you know, it would be emails, it would be some Zoom meetings, some conference calls and the things like that that will start to take place for them. So, ironically enough, I think, and you could probably understand this as well, Amy, we traveled so much following or participating in the sports that we loved. And all we used to say after an 8-day swing was, man, I just want to get home. And now that we're home and right. We're told we have to stay home, we're like, well, we want to leave. Well, listen, just get it right. Let's just work this like we could be working, but they've told us to go home. So we would be very positive about the fact that we're home now.
Yeah, for sure. Now, you obviously were a long time in the NFL as a ref, and then you moved into that TV booth. So as you made the transition, I know you've had some time, but how do you like being a talking head, Gene?
I'm really liking it now. You know, we used to call media when I was an official sometimes, especially when they were overly critical of it, that it was like the dark side. And now a lot of my friends said I've crossed the bridge and now I'm part of the dark side too. But I like it over here. I kind of like it. It's not as dark as I thought it was. And not only is it presented me with a bunch of new challenges and something I'd never done before, but to, again, meet the people that I've met at CBS especially. I mean, they're just an amazing extended family and welcomed me so much with open arms. And really, I'm starting to really enjoy this position an awful lot now. As you start to get your sea legs and, you know, a little more comfortable on what to expect, it's been a fantastic transfer, and I couldn't be happier with the opportunity CBS has given me.
When you started in this business, or even, I don't know, the first game that you were a referee in the NFL, or any of your days doing NCAA games, did you ever think we would get to the point where broadcast booths, every single broadcast of a game would include a rules official, someone who was just interpreting rules from the booth?
No, not when I started. But I will tell you this, Amy, Mike Pereira, who really kind of started this, from 10,000 feet for all of us, I would say. And, you know, I have to give Mike that credit right now. He said he wanted a percentage of my, you know, my contract because he initiated the positions. But the truth of it is Mike's first game ever as a rules analyst in this current position that I'm in happened to be the Calvin Johnson catch in Detroit in Chicago with Detroit. And his first ever analysis play relating to review was the Calvin Johnson catch, and I happened to be the referee in the game.
Whoa!
There was, I think from that moment on, at least that idea that this not only could help the product and help the game and help the viewership and everything positive for it, that there may actually be a need for this, you know, in multiple facets moving forward, because I think that it did help the game, and I think it did bring in some viewership and some understanding, which at the end of the day really just helps the sport. So right then, I didn't think that I had the opportunity to do it, but I thought there was definitely value in the position. And then 7 years or 8 years later, we met in Green Bay in a morning breakfast and talked about that play. And ironically enough, that was the same day that the Dez Bryant catch occurred later that afternoon. So I've had a lot of parallels with Mike and replay in these positions throughout my career. And now I'm sitting in that chair that Mike kind of initiated. So it's been rather cool.
Gene Steratore is a rules analyst for CBS Sports, longtime NFL referee and NCAA official. It's After Hours with Amy Lawrence on CBS Sports Radio. What was your first, Gene? Do you remember it?
Oh, my gosh. I don't know if I remember the specific one, Amy. I was so scared and petrified and all the things that I think I've never felt as an official. They all came creeping in when I got into the studio, and then the first Thanksgiving appearance with Jim and Tony and Tracy on location. There was a ton of anxiety. It wasn't about breaking the plays down. It wasn't about, you know, just as they said in the business before I got in and didn't understand what it really meant, I think, fully until I was there, was, you know, Gene, just be you. And I used to think when I'd hear that the years before I took the job, if you decide to do it, just be yourself. I thought, well, who else are you going to be? But until you put that headset on, until a producer is in your ear telling you within 10 seconds you're going to speak and everything you say is going to be broadcast in front of millions of people, and then you realize you really didn't sound like yourself at all, there was a lot of anxiety there.
Aww.
And that's leaving me now, I hope, in some ways, you know.
Good.
So it's become much more comfortable.
Good. Okay. Well, here's a fun one to analyze. It was very controversial last season. How would you evaluate the birth and then later death of the expanded review for pass interference?
You know, in the beginning, I'm not a sky's falling guy. And when you're an official, you can't be, and you can't be pessimistic, and you can't second guess. No armchair quarterbacking. The life of an official is whatever the stakeholders of whichever sport you're refereeing or participating in, they understand what's best for the game. If you disagree, you still do your best to make it the best for the game. So you do go into all rule changes with that thought. With that said, experience, time, knowledge, understanding what unintended consequences each small rule change truly does make in any sport, in NFL football and football in general, and rules, there are so many tentacles that when this was initiated, there was that unintended consequence fear of where this could possibly go. And the reason why, Amy, is that technology's enhancement has been great for many things in the game, viewers primarily, and specifically, I think, have gained the most of this. From an officiating lens, from a sport viewpoint and a participant, judgment plays, subjective analysis on the art of what it takes to officiate have to be left with the human being and the individual people that are making those decisions. I think anytime we start to take judgment or levels of when it becomes a foul or when it doesn't, if it's not black and white, my preference is keep that out of technology. The game is still done by people. And judgment and how they massage that in between,
right,
on judgment plays, leave it to those people. That's what makes great officials great. Black and white play is different. You stepped out of bounds and we can fix it because we have 37 cameras in HD now. Let's fix that. Because people pass in front of you on the field or court real quick. And if the one step just disappears, you don't see it. So I'm for that. I think when we get to judgment and subjectivity gets involved, we have to allow that to the participants.
What feedback did you get from those who were still working the games?
Well, you know, I have the luxury, and I use it in a couple different ways quickly, Amy. My older brother, who happens to be the president of the officiating union, and my business partner, who I see every day of my life, you know, media and officials are not allowed to speak. The refs are not allowed to speak to the media during the season. So anytime we have any fights in the family, I remind Tony that I'm media and he's an official. He can't speak to me. But with that said, you know, we still get to have great conversation in a very close proximity. And I do talk to a lot of my peers secretly or personally throughout the whole year. The challenge, again, without even getting it directly from them, because I haven't been out of it that long.
Okay.
And so you still feel it, you know, the way they felt it and how it would have been challenging had I been that person now doing this. The tough part, Amy, is when you see a play like we saw last year that really looks like pass interference and now it wasn't overturned. And let's say that was a young official that didn't call pass interference on that play. The coach challenging it. It challenges it. It doesn't get overturned. It stays no pass interference. But maybe 2 days later now you get your evaluation in the game and it kind of implies that, you know, if you see this again, you may want to call that. There's a mixed message that goes there because maybe it didn't rise to the level of changing it or creating a foul and replay rule. If we see that play again in a snapshot in live action, we'd want you to call that, right? It hurts the on-field foot soldiers training their younger peers on that field at the time of the game. And that's a challenge. That was very challenging, I know, for consistency and for the confidence that is definitely required to make that split-second decision the next week that play happens to you. So, you know, they always tell officials, don't officiate to replay and don't let replay decisions affect in the grand scheme of things how you officiate. That sounds great and it looks good in a lecture hall. That doesn't work in a human mind. You know,
right,
when you see
right.
a play and you didn't rule on pass interference and you get your grades 2 days later and they say they want to foul there, you're going to remember that play and that snapshot 3 weeks later, and you're going to do what they told you, or you're not going to be officiating too long. So it created a little bit of that, I believe, as well.
After talking about replay review, I wanted to know his opinion of the sky judge concept. So what do you think, Gene?
It scares me, Amy. Again, I think I'm such a traditionalist. Heck, I fought going from white pants to black pants. So I'm a very traditionalist kind of a person. Again, when you think about it, and I don't know enough of all the details of it, I know it got tabled a little here as we started to bring this out at this point. I think that's a wise decision as they surface and look deeper under the surface of this to see, again, what type of unintended consequences can a sky judge bring. You are telling me now that you have an official that can go to a game that is so well-versed in all seven positions on that field to be able to interject himself or herself into any play involving one of those specific officials and not only understand the rules that's written in the book, but the philosophy of how to apply that foul or create a foul or something of that nature. And again, I'm speaking without knowing all the details, but that's what scares me about bringing that in, Amy. And then, you know, the plays that go back to me last year, there was an unfortunate situation early in the year in Green Bay where there were a couple hands to the face calls that were not made, that television or camera angle kind of showed they should have been called. And now that talk about having somebody upstairs that could have seen that within 15 seconds and stopped the game and done the right thing, that works for that play. What happens in the next game? And is that enough for holding? And did the guy lose his feet? And on that same play, they threw the winning touchdown. Do we interject ourselves there and decide, is that enough for holding? Mm. Again, a subjective play that requires judgment. I think we open Pandora's box again with that. That's my feeling. And as an on-field official, you know, my thoughts are, look, at understand something. The plays that officials miss, they draw tons of attention. And when a game is decided on those plays, as we all know from the past period, especially like in New Orleans, a mistake like that creates tons of just bad energy, right?
Sure.
And these guys just aren't any good. And that whole thing, that's part of officiating. They do get 95% of all of this stuff correct. And we just have to get better with the 3-5% on the other end as well as we can. But with that said, please understand these people are the best at what they do in the world. They're just under such a microscope that when one mistake out of 165 plays occurs, the attention that gets drawn to that one error,
sure,
is really higher than anything that anyone else that participates in sports has to deal with. Quarterbacks miss wide open receivers. Receivers drop wide open passes. Defensive backs get burnt for touchdowns. We yell for a minute, scream for a minute, take him out, and then we cheer him four plays later. It just doesn't occur when you wear stripes, you know, but that's okay. But I think at the same time, you have to understand that as a fan and a person that loves the game.
Yes, and I do use that stat all the time on my show, Gene, because I remember you told me that referees, officials grade out at 95% correct, and so I'm constantly reminding people of that because that's amazing. I don't think people know that, but you taught me that, so I use it a lot.
They do. And the other thing, I would say this to you, Amy, too. You know, when our players of our teams we love make a mistake, we get upset with the player, but you know what? He's on our team, so we rally behind him or
we
her
love him,
three
yes.
plays later. And we want her to do better. We want him to perform better, right? And then what do you also hear all of the time if your team is on a three-game losing streak? The first thing the coach says in the postgame, before we start any questions, listen, we need to get a win. The locker room needs a win, right, to get the morale back up, to get the energy back up. Let me ask you this. When do the refs get a W? Do they ever leave the locker room? But that's one of the things, though, that they wear as a badge of honor, Andy, because even knowing that, you're never going to leave the stadium thinking you got the win.
Right.
You do get the win when the game is administrated, adjudicated properly, and you are not noticed. But you were a very, very integral part of that entire entertaining game. And your job and your goal was to not be noticed throughout that entire game, you know. And you think about what type of an individual, how high is that level of character for someone in this day and age that wants to perform on a platform in front of millions of people and never be recognized? It's kind of a unique thing in this day and age, especially.
It is. Gene, before I let you go, you are a small business owner. We talked about this, and many of the officials have other jobs as well. Either they own businesses or some are lawyers, some are farmers. It's pretty incredible what you guys do. But as a small business owner, if you don't mind, I'd like to ask what the spring has been like with you and the challenges of the pandemic.
It's been humbling. It's been amazingly rewarding in such a deep fashion. I started a business when I was a very young, early 20-year-old kid with my older brother. And the business that we own does distribute some of the items that are now of such very high demand in our world right now to protect our essential workers. So my business has stayed open, although 40 to 45% of our customer base has been closed. The 50 to 55% that is open, they are the grocery stores, they are the gas stations, they are the nursing homes, they are those facilities that are staying open and keeping people alive, all of us alive, sick or not sick right now. And those human beings are getting up every day and they're walking out of their front door and saying goodbye to their family, and their families are afraid for them when they go out. And those individuals that are out are afraid to come home back into their safe home to their family because they were out. So dealing with that and living that and really literally feeling that on a daily basis has made me, not that I didn't before, because when you do what I do, you interface with a lot of people that don't make tons of money, but their jobs are so important, and it was parallel to officiating. You know, the guy that is cleaning the subway terminal, he's not recognized until he doesn't clean it. And right. then everyone recognizes them, which is very similar to my officiating life as well. So I always drew a great comparison that way and respected them so much for what they did every day and were really only being recognized a lot of times if something didn't work or it wasn't clean. And they did that every day and they still do. And now those individuals, from the nurses and the doctors all the way down to the delivery people, of which I have three or four of, those people are the heartbeat of our country. They are the fabric of what makes this country as great as it is. And in these trying times, we are seeing that we would not be the amazing country that we are fighting to be and continue to be right now without those people that have been doing this through good times and, most importantly, through the most dangerous and challenging times I know of my time on this earth. So I love them all. I respect them all so much. And we have an amazing country. Yes. That is being very challenged in multiple ways at the same time. And we all need to look in the mirror and decide not only what do we want to be as individuals, but what do we want to be as a society, a community, and most importantly, as a country right now. And it's time to have a quiet talk within yourself to do the right thing for all of those reasons. And I'm an optimist and firmly believe that enough people, if we're all having those quiet conversations, the vast, vast majority, they have the same answers to the questions they're asking themselves too. Now it's just time to do that.
And we have the time. We still have the time to be able to get that done. Gene, it's always so good to talk to you. And the voice is recognizable. Of course, I love the accent from the Western Pennsylvania, my family growing up in Youngstown, Ohio, so I recognize it. But you've transitioned well into your new gig, Gene. It fits you so well.
Oh, thanks, Amy. I love talking to you, too. When you get over here by the Yinzers of Pennsylvania, you stop over, okay? We'll get down there and get a Permanis down in Pittsburgh.
Sounds great, Gene. Take care.
Okay, Amy, you too. Take care.
Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can spend another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. With available H-Track all-wheel drive and three-row seating, my whole family can head deep into the wild. Conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.